All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Jim Fear 138 podcast show thing. And I'm very glad to be back with you guys on this weekly schedule. You know, I was kind of worried that I wouldn't get to record a podcast tonight because I had to the first 15 of the next, well, the next Catherine Kimbridge book that I'm producing was due tonight. And I got it done. I got it done in like, I don't know, hour and a half, something like that. So, yes, I am officially audiobook Jesus. You can all bow at my feet later, but for right now, let's just light up a smoke, get a nice glass of something that you like to drink, preferably something alcoholic, but for you young kids, I wouldn't want to be encouraging the delinquency of a minor here, so you young kids get some orange juice or something. And let's hang out for a while. Now, this podcast might be kind of long, because there was a lot that happened this fucking week, guys. Hang on, let me get my notes. And I'm actually having to do physical notes. You can hear this is a physical notebook. It's just a little memo book. It's only 40 sheets. It was like 50 cent up at the grocery store, and I was like, you know what, that'll work, because I was having problems during the recording of Replicants and Reconnaissance Man. I would leave my phone on my desk, because it's never interfered with anything before, right? But I would leave it on my desk, and then I would record, and I would record for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours at a run, get as much of the book done as possible in as short amount of time as I'm able, and I would go back and I would be editing, and I would start hearing this. And it was really regular, like that. It had about that regularity to it. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Am I going crazy? And I went back and I checked the original audio file, and it had it too. Without any compression, without any EQ, nothing that I did was doing this. So I showed it to Dimension Bucket, and he was like, oh yeah, dude, that's your phone. You need to throw that thing all the way across the fucking room when you start recording. So that's what I'm doing. My phone is over there on my bed. There's no possible way that it should be able to interact with my recording setup, and I had to switch over to physical notebooks because I really don't want to have to re-record something or have a recording fouled up anymore, because it lowered the quality of the recording. Like, it would be rolling along smooth, and I would have my nice smooth narrator voice on, right? And then that would happen and everything would get all tinny. Not, you know, not unlistenable tinny, but tinny enough to where me in the production booth, I noticed it, and it bothered the fuck out of me. So I don't want that to happen with the podcast, so I'm switching over to real notes. I also have a to-do list after, you know, I'm taking so many notes from Aaron Clary, I might as well steal the to-do list thing as well. I could probably scratch a couple of things off there now. But yeah, so I got my podcast topics, and I just keep this one in my back pocket now, because I get a lot of ideas at work. Unfortunately, I can't write when I'm driving down the road, but I get a lot of ideas when I'm at work, so I'll just pull this up in my back pocket and just write it down. So, where the narrations went, that's the first thing that I wanted to talk about, because that's just like house cleaning business, you know. Let you guys know where all the fucking content on this channel went and why it suddenly just jumped to straight the podcast and nothing else. Well, the deal is, a lot of those stories are like public domain or anonymously authored, so nobody really owns the copyright to them. And I wanted to save those for Dimension Bucket Magazine. That's where the narrations went. We're doing it in DB Magazine podcast. Hopefully we'll be able to print them, but some of those are on like No Sleep or Our Creepypasta or something like that. So we'll have to go to the authors and ask them about rights for some of these stories. But that's where the narrations went, guys. So I'm not trying to stiff you guys on content, and the Dimension Bucket Magazine podcast is free. It's just between my day job and doing the audiobook thing and the podcast. you know, because I do like to edit this thing to cut out, like I said last time, my complete inability to string a coherent sentence together. I just don't really have time to do narrations for the YouTube channel. And the narrations, like I said, my YouTube channel's unmonetized. Thank God. I don't get enough views for it to make a difference anyway. But, yeah, it wasn't making money, and I have this thing that I'm trying to get started up where I could be making money at it, and we're trying to turn Dimension Bucket Magazine into a business here. So I figured that the narrations would be better served over there where you guys could still listen to them for free. All you have to do is go subscribe to the Dimension Bucket YouTube channel, or, you know, subscribe to Dimension Bucket Magazine on iTunes. I still have to get together with Dimension Bucket and ask him where the fuck all we are so that I can give you guys a coherent list. But I only just talked to him for a minute today, like a couple of lines over Skype. But he has moved in and he's on the job hunt. So everything's working out there. We should be back up and running here in a week or so with the Dimension Bucket magazine. Man, that thing had a fucking rocky start. But yeah, so that's what happened with that, guys. So the presidential debate happened this week, and that kind of made me want to fucking kill myself, as I'm sure it did with many of you as well. If you want a really good breakdown, the day after the debate, right at like the Tuesday after the debate, because the debate was on Monday, if I remember right. Ben Shapiro covered it in his podcast, and I think he did a really good analysis. I didn't really listen to anybody else's analysis because I was hungover and tired, and I didn't really feel like listening to Stephen Molyneux and Dave Rubin blab on about the debate. I really don't know what to think about it. It's really tough to figure out where I line up, because for the longest time, I've hated the fuck out of Trump. I really just do not like the guy as a person. I do not like him as a presidential candidate because I would rather vote for somebody who's actually principled, like Bernie Sanders, okay? I would vote for Bernie Sanders before I would vote for Donald Trump, because while I disagree with Bernie Sanders on just about everything he says, he believes it, or at least he seemed to back in the primaries, you know, before Clinton bought him the fuck out. No refunds. Feel the burn, bitch. But back in the primaries, Bernie Sanders really seemed to be a principled person who believed in what he was saying. And I would rather vote for somebody who actually was feeding the people a line that he believed than someone like Donald Trump, who's, you know, despite what people claim about him, people like Paul Joseph Watson, he is a demagogue. And actually, I'm going to look that term up just to make sure. Sorry. Actually, I'm going to look that term up just to make sure that I'm not using it incorrectly here. Demagogue. There we go. Okay. A political leader who seeks support by appealing to popular desires and prejudices rather than by using rational argument. Trump. That's Trump. Yes, Trump is a demagogue. He might not necessarily be preying on prejudices. I don't really think that that's something that he's doing. He's certainly been read into like that. But I'm almost to the point, guys, where I'm going to vote for Trump just to stick it to fucking leftists and celebrities. Just like as a complete protest vote. Because I know Hillary Clinton is corrupt. I know that if Hillary Clinton gets in, and I was listening to Paul Joseph Watson and Stephen Molyneux over on Freedom Main Radio. They did a little conversation. It's like an hour long, but it's worth your time. It's a good discussion, and it really got me thinking. You know, we know Hillary Clinton is corrupt. We know Hillary Clinton hates the Constitution, and I'm not making the case that Trump is particularly fond of it. He says a lot of things about the Constitution and, like, expanding libel laws to attack people who give him shit, who pick on him for his tiny, tiny hands. I don't think that Trump is any great defender of the Constitution, but I don't think that he would necessarily attack it as hard as Hillary does. And then there's the whole Supreme Court justice thing. But the thing is that Trump is such a wild card candidate, and I know that he's a fucking liar. I just can't pin down where he actually stands on anything. Like, he says all of this great shit. Like, his platform, I agree with almost everything in his platform. But I don't think that he means any of it. And I don't want to vote for somebody who's going to be a Republican in the streets and a Democrat in the sheets. Because Democrats are fucking crazy. I'm not a Republican, guys. I'm not even a conservative. But the Democrats are fucking crazy, and Hillary Clinton is the worst of the bunch. The absolute fucking, like that black goop that you scrape out of the bottom of a beer barrel after the beer has like, sat in it for a long fucking time. That's Hillary Clinton, so far as being a political candidate goes. And I'm just... I cannot vote for her. I cannot. I will not allow myself to. Something, like, my principles are, like, clawing up inside my chest, and they're just like, no, you're not gonna fucking do that. We'll go kill ourselves before we do that. All right. So what are we gonna do here? And I've been trying to work that out for the past, like, week. And I don't know what to do, because, like, I don't think Trump is any kind of a Republican. I know for a fact he's not a fucking conservative. And I also know he's not a principled person who believes what he's saying. Just look what he said on the abortion issue. First, he wanted to punish women who wanted to get an abortion. Then he flip-flopped around about, like, 8 or 9 times in half as many days on that. You know, he's not a fucking conservative. He doesn't even know the conservative position on abortion. I think the conservative position on abortion to, prosecute the abortion doctor but not the woman who wants an abortion is stupid and hypocritical, because the intent is with the woman. The doctor is just performing a service. She's the one who wants the abortion, and she will do it in another way if you don't allow her to go to the doctor. So she's the one who wants to kill the kid. Does intent matter to you people or not? Or are you just so wrapped up in your fucking vagina worship marriage cult that you can't countenance the idea of punishing a woman for wanting to kill a baby? Are you people pro-life? Or are you just stupid hypocrites? You know, there's plenty of holes to be poked in that argument. But even I know that the conservative position on abortion is not what Trump said. And Hillary didn't die on stage, so that was a disappointment. Trump had a really good first half hour, though. I agree with Ben Shapiro on that one. I don't think Trump won. I don't think anybody won. I saw, if y'all aren't following Manfred von Fuck Yourself on Tumblr, if you're on Tumblr, if you're brave enough to walk into the bowels of the hell site, you could do worse than following Manfred von Fuck Yourself. But he had a poster. He had changed around the, giant squid versus mega croc, you know, sci-fi movie poster. And it had Hillary and Trump on it, and it said, whoever wins, we lose. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah, that about sums up my feelings on the matter. You know, I do not know what the fuck to do. Like I say, I'm thinking about it because they had that fucking commercial that came out with, like, Nathan Fillion and Mark Ruffalo and, you know, people like that. And, like, we're celebrities, and we know better than you about how to vote. It's like, oh, fuck you, you condescending piece of shit. Like, I know you probably think that you're doing a good thing, but really, you're just getting my ire up. You're just pissing me off. You're just making me want to vote Trump. Like, does Joss Whedon understand how PR works at all? I don't think that he does. Because that made me fucking angry. Well, not angry. It was just, like, irritating. And I was just like, you know what? That really makes me want to vote for Trump just to say fuck you. You know, just to piss off the right people, I guess. There's been a lot said about how Trump pisses off the right people, and that's accurate. That's very accurate. Trump does piss off the right people, and I like that he pisses off the right people. I just have more going on in my mind about what I'd like to see from the President of the United States than, oh, he pisses off the leftists. That's not good enough for me. And I don't know if I can vote for Trump. But, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I'm kind of coming around to the idea of maybe I could hold my nose, like, swallow my bile, and vote for Donald Trump. Maybe.
But I don't fucking know, man. I could see myself voting for Trump, but I can't see myself being happy about it. Or actually supporting him. Just like, I just don't want Hillary to win, would be my complete impetus with pulling the lever for Donald Trump. And I don't want that to be my complete impetus. That's a bad reason to vote for a president. But Hillary is actually fucking scary. So that's about all I can say about that. Like, the debate, nobody won. Hillary, like, I think it was kind of rigged against Trump. I don't know about all these technical difficulties that people are talking about. Like, oh, he had a hot light over his head to make him sweat more, and his microphone was funny. Lester Holt was in the tank for Hillary. That much I can definitely say. He hit Trump a lot harder. He interrupted Trump a lot more. Just, like, he didn't even bring up, like, Benghazi or the Clinton Foundation or what's some of her other gaffes? I don't know. There's a ton of shit that you could bring up to like, bash Hillary in the face with. But, no, let's talk about the stupid, retarded, baseline-level pro-wrestling entertainment horseshit that we got at the debate. It was just painful to watch. Well, you could probably go back in my Twitter feed to Monday or whenever the debate was. I was freaking out. I was spazzing like an Aspie who just got hit with an electrical wire. I was not a happy camper during the debate. And I wasn't rooting for anybody either. I was just like, hit her back. Come on, motherfucker, hit her. And then, like, Hillary Clinton would say something stupid, and I would be like, no, don't wade into that issue. It's losing. You're going to lose people if you talk about that. So, like I said, I don't really support anybody, but I'm thinking about voting Trump just to stop Hillary. And that's a horrible, horrible reason to vote for president. And I'm really disappointed that that's where my fucking mind is at. So let's just move on to something else that, you know, I've got a whole fucking list here. And then at the end, we've got, like, a couple of cool things that I can direct y'all towards that you can just kind of get drunk and watch and take your mind off of all of the horse shit that's been going on for this whole fucking debate. So there's been a kind of controversy going on with the Candid app. Be Candid and shit like that. You know, you guys, if you follow any of the YouTubers that I follow, people like Shoe on Head, Harmful Opinions, Mundane Matt, I think The Amazing Atheist even got in on it. And the first exposure I had with Candid was it was mentioned on a Honey Badger Radio podcast that I listened to last week. And I went and I looked it up and I started it out and I didn't really use it all that much. I might have opened it up once or twice when, you know, I didn't feel like going on Twitter for whatever reason. But it had a really good slogan, you know, good PR. Then I watched Harmful Opinions Be Censored, I think is the name of his videos. There's part one and a part two where he basically, like, called them on their horseshit about how the app is proclaiming that it's a free speech app, but they have an AI that's going to filter quote-unquote low-quality posts. And it's like, this is supposed to be like a Chan message board, or an image board. This is supposed to be like, you know, 4chan, 8chan on your cell phone. And there's no AI on the Chan sites. Like, hold on, there is this guy I ran into on Twitter. Let me actually find the sumbitch. Johnny Fox. Johnny Fox Rocks. At Johnny Fox Rocks. And he tweeted me Mundane Matt's Candid Meltdown. Basically, like, Mundane Matt didn't like people calling him on his shit about the fact that Candid isn't free speech at all. And according to Harmful Opinions, if you want to get tinfoil haddish about it, it could actually be an AI experiment to basically rid social media of shitposting. They're coming for our shit posts. I don't know. I watched his video and I did a little bit of research. Not Johnny Fox. Harmful Opinions. And I did a little bit of research afterwards and I deleted that shit. That's just the statements that the company comes out with is just like, oh, so you're social justice warriors in disguise. Okay, all right, so these are the social justice warrior Decepticons who want to have an image board where they control everything that is said via this moderator AI that just deletes shit for whatever fucking reason they programmed it to. And it learns. So you can get around it for a little while, but eventually it's going to catch up with you, and that's not going to be fun for anybody. So, yeah, I'm not going to do the whole candid thing. I think I'm just going to stick to Gab, stick to Minds, stick to Tumblr and Twitter until they come up with something better. Until Gab and Minds get, like, mobile apps. And I think Minds might actually have one, but I don't know. I would have to look, and I don't want to bring my phone over here. But, you know, I would just be careful about what apps you download, guys, and be careful about things like Candid that claim to be about freedom of speech, but then all of this shit. Like, you won't find that controversy about Gab or Minds. That's not, nobody I have heard talk about those websites has brought up, well, hey, they've got this thing here that does this, and it filters posts and shit like that. I mean, on Gab, like, I've got it open right here. On Gab, down here near the trending hashtags, there's a button called self-censorship. It says muted users won't be unfollowed, and they won't know that you muted them. So you can mute users and you can mute words. And that's the censorship on Gab, and it's all completely self-imposed. So if I don't want to, you know, if I don't want to see any posts about Steven Universe or what the fuck ever, I can just add Steven Universe to my muted words and it'll delete those posts for me. You know, those won't appear in my feed, but I really don't care about that kind of shit unless it comes up, like, on Tumblr. I blacklisted just about every character in Steven Universe's name because I just got fucking tired of seeing it. Like, I'm not a big fan of the show. I'm sure if I sat down and watched it, I would probably find it to be enjoyable, but I'm just not interested. I do not fucking care. I don't have the time to waste on sitting down and actually watching it. And I'm sick of seeing every fourth post to be something about Steven Universe, so I just blacklisted fucking everything. This was, like, months ago. It's not such a big problem now. Maybe because of the blacklist. So, yeah, just be careful what websites you go on, guys. Be careful who says they're about free speech. And does it... Like, I've seen on Gab white supremacists. I'm sure I can find it if I can scroll down my feed here for long enough. But, you know, they've got Vox Day as a verified account. And let's just go ahead and skip a couple of things, because that was something else that I kind of wanted to talk about. Like, they've got Vox Day as a verified account on this website. And if you don't know who Vox Day is, I guess count yourself lucky. I don't really think there's any big deal about the guy. He's kind of this alt-right figurehead. He says things that are occasionally uncomfortable, and he... But, I mean, like, how can you take this guy seriously? Like, hang on, I'm gonna go to Vox Day's Twitter, right? If he's still on Twitter. Let me just... Vox... Day. Search all people for Vox Day. There we go. Yeah, okay. He calls himself the Supreme Dark Lord. Right? And he calls his followers the Evil Legion of Evil. Okay? And his pinned tweet. And this guy's a prolific writer. Right, like, I did a little bit of research on Vox Day. This guy's a prolific writer. He could have any of his multiple books, whether it's SJW's Always Lie, or what was the fucking other one? Cuckservatives. He's got a bunch of fantasy novels and stuff like that. His pinned tweet, at the first thing anybody sees when they go on Vox Day's profile is like, okay, you've got, like, the smiley face with the snake tongue, And the number one political philosophy bestseller, The Most Dangerous Book in America, SJWs Always Lie, Taking Down the Thought Police. And then he's got, like, the weird, like, mask on a desert background as his little icon there. And then you scroll down, and the very first tweet that you see is a picture of him and his wife, and it says, "She's pretty cute, despite being invisible, imaginary, and I'm reliably informed, non-existent." How do you take this guy seriously? Like, and Vox, if you hear this, what the fuck, dude? Are you that concerned about what other people think? Are you that self-conscious? Do you have that dearth of self-confidence that the very first tweet that people see when they go to your fucking page is, "I'm married. Look, a woman found me valuable." Come on, dude. It's fucking pathetic. It's fucking pathetic that you have to, like, seek validation from other people by doing that. Just have pictures up. Just, like, put pictures of you and your wife on, like, your blog spot. I know you have a blog spot. I can see the link for it right there. Just put pictures of you and your wife up on your blog spot. And, I mean, that's obviously not Photoshopped. It's a real picture. Neither of them look very happy. They both look kind of dour. Like somebody just handed them a lemon. Or like they just saw their child, like, run into a tree face first out in the yard. It looks like an outside picture. But, like, they just saw their kid run into a tree, and they're just like, Neither of them are smiling. I don't know. Maybe they're just not happy. But, how do you see this guy as a threat? Like, how is this dude taken seriously and actually frightening people? It doesn't really make sense to me. Like, I've read a couple of his... posts on his blog, and one, like, listen to this. Hang on, I'm just gonna go to his blog spot right quick. Warning, this link may be unsafe. That's funny. That's what kind of made me investigate Vox Day a little bit, because his blog spot, it's blog spot. It's a blog spot. It's Blogger. You can't, well, I suppose you can make a blogger unsafe, but how is Vox Day? Vox Day is the editor-in-chief of Castalia House. He's, you know, he's a published author. He's a blogger. He's one of the leaders of the alt-right, quote-unquote. What purpose would he have to distribute viruses via his own personal website? Like, what the fuck kind of sense does that make? This is just fucking stupid. So, ignore this warning and continue. Okay, so, here we are at Vox Populi. I hope I pronounced that right. Populi. Vox Populi. I don't fucking know. Let me see here. Age of the Orc. Trump passed up the kill shots. World War III by proxy. Feasts of the Elves. He's promoting somebody's book. Beyond Tone Deaf via Fentanyl Warning Shot. Train crash in Hoboken. Maybe he lives in New Jersey. Of alt-right and alt-retard. False Fears, Fake Refugees, Best of Gab, Brainstorming with Greg Johnson, The Essential Evil of Globalism, Is Syria the USA's Syracuse, Trump Slide, 292 and Counting, Deutsche Bank is in Trouble, Curiosity and Cognitive Paradigms, Why He Was Wrong About Christianity, 20 years. Oh, congratulations, I guess. You know, he's been married to his wife for 20 years. Congratulations. Doesn't he look dapper in his little tuxedo? Like, none of this is, like, incredibly concerning. Like, the first time I visited Vox's website, I saw Alpha. It was about the quote-unquote Jewish problem in the Republican Party. And it was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Oh, he's got a post called Why the Left Hates H.P. Lovecraft. I might want to look into that. Because I thought that was kind of weird. Like, yeah, the guy's a racist, but, like, it was 100 years ago. Who fucking cares? The Twilight of U.S. Jewry. I think this was it. Yeah, this was it. It was basically he quotes it, like the vast majority of this post is a quote from the Jerusalem Post, from an article in the Jerusalem Post, that Israel is gradually becoming aware that the Democrats are actively anti-Israel while the Republican masses are done pursuing Israeli interests at the expense of American interests. And it's basically like why people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro are quote unquote suddenly frantic to get back in the good graces of the Trump supporting Republicans, which they're not. You know, Mark Levin banned Rents Priebus from his show because he's a boot-licking fucking toady. You know, Ben Shapiro is not voting. He's not going to vote for Trump. He's not going to vote for Hillary. He's not going to fucking vote. So it's just silly. I don't understand why people think that Vox Day is dangerous. I really just do not get it. And apparently he hasn't been on his Twitter in a while. But, yeah, like, this whole alt-right thing. Yeah, you got some racists in there, but then you have Milo. Like, if you go and listen to the recent talks that Milo has put on, right? He's talking about how, you know, it's ridiculous that we live in a world where conservative Republicans will show up to watch a gay British guy crack jokes about how much black dick he chugs. Like, is this, like, could you imagine that 10 years ago, that happening? So, I mean, it really depends, like, on, like, the political landscape. I've gotten into this with FNGR a little bit here and there, but, like, the political landscape is really fucking hard to break down, and I kind of predict that no matter what happens this election cycle, 2020's election cycle is going to see the Democrats and the Republicans, the Libertarians and the Greens, and then there will probably be some kind of hardline conservative party, a la people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and Glenn Beck, you know, people who actually kind of hung on to their principles more or less throughout this election cycle and refused to get on the Trump train, or if they did, it was reluctantly to stop Hillary. And then, like, a fucking full-out communist party from, like, the burnouts, essentially. That's what I think is going to happen. How accurate that is, we'll fucking see. But, you know, I follow Vox Day on Gab. And I haven't seen anything particularly worrying from him. The only thing that kind of makes me a little bit leery about Vox Day is that, you know, by associating with him, by, you know, and I don't even really associate with him. I follow Castalia House, because they're friendly with Kirsova and people like Daddy Warpig on Twitter. And I followed those, I followed Warpig for a while, and he's got his head on straight. Definitely worth a follow if you're on the Twitters. And Kirsova is a really cool magazine that I am glad that I bought issues of, because it's got really good fiction in it. And, you know, Castalia House just has some really interesting sounding books that they publish. And I'm thinking about going to them and being like, hey, you guys want to do audiobooks? Because, you know, I know a guy. And the guy's me. Because I know that they would be able to afford to pay me, you know, proper salary for an audiobook. And I doubt that they're going to have anything up on ACX. But, that remains to be seen. But even by just associating with that guy, because Vox Day wants to take down the Hugos, he wants to explode the Hugos from the inside out. He wants to make the Hugos completely worthless. And in doing so, he's really just shown that the Hugos are completely worthless and always have been. So, you know, I have completely stopped taking books that, from Hugo, award-winning author. I don't care. That is not a plus. It's not necessarily a minus, but it's definitely not a plus that you've won a Hugo. Maybe that just means that you were ideologically pure enough to win, you know, to have everybody behind you. Which leads me to the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is purity tests. You know, that's one of the reasons that I know I'm going to have trouble finding work in like mainstream literature, because everybody on the fucking left has a purity test. Fucking John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender, one of the most irreverent and disrespectful cartoon characters in the history of the fucking medium. The guy who voices that is, like, purity testing his fucking followers. He's like, you know, if you vote Trump, if you're gonna vote Trump, then fucking unfollow me. Piss off racist. You know, piss off anti-feminists. Fuck you, you won't be missed. And I'm sitting here like, dude, you're one of my heroes. What the fuck are you doing? You know, why can't you handle somebody having a different opinion than you? Why do they have to line up on everything? Now, I have certain things that are just like breaks for me. Like, if I know you're a communist, I'm going to be less inclined to be friends with you. I'm not going to write you off, but I'm going to be less inclined to be friends with you because we're probably going to disagree and we're probably going to have the same argument like 50 million times every time we're drunk. So I'm just less inclined to hang out with people who are communists, but it's not a purity test. I know communists that I respect, you know? I think that Marx actually was a great thinker. He was just led down the wrong path, and a lot of his ideas are really stupid, but he did sit down there and plan out the whole thing from beginning to end. While, you know, Engels smoked crack underneath his desk. But, you know, I'm sure there are Marxists and communists out there that I could get along with, that I could go to dinner with and sit down and have a drink with and, you know, hang and chill and be friends with. They're just really hard to name because I make it known that I do not fucking like communism. And I mean, I'm on BlockBots on Twitter. Like, I'll be scrolling my feed and I'll see, like, No Sleep Podcast has reposted this thing or subtweeted this, and I can't see the tweet. And occasionally that's just like a hiccup in Twitter, so I'll just click the status link. And I'll go over to this person's Twitter, and it's like, oh, I'm blocked. I don't even know who the fuck this person is. I ain't never heard of them before. Why do they have me blocked? And I'm like, oh, right, BlockBots. I was in Gamergate. Yeah, that's right. Fucking BlockBots. Which is another form of ideological purity test. They will block you on, you know, who you follow. So I didn't even have to respond to the Gamergate thing. I could have let that lie. But because I was following people like Mundane Matt and, you know, blah, 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 insert figureheads from Gamergate here, I still get on the block list because I associate with people engaged in wrongthink. And wrongthink can take many forms. You know, that's not something that's exclusive to the left. But the left is far more willing to act on that wrong thing. You know what I mean? Like with the BlockBot. So I know that if I go to Castalia House or email Vox Day himself, just be like, yo, I'm an audiobook producer. You got a lot of fucking books. You want them in audiobook? Let me go to like Audible here. See if I can find anything by Vox Day. Let's see here. Vox Day. Maybe he's on here. Oh, wait. Yeah, he is. He is. Cuckservative. On the Existence of God and Monkey Daycare? What the fuck is Monkey Daycare? Oh, this is by Vox Media. Okay. Different. Totally different thing. This is published by The Verge. So, yeah, he's got a couple of books up there. Narrated by John Mollison and Thomas Landon. I have no idea who the fuck these people is. But just going up to them and just being like, hey, I'm an audiobook producer. I fucking need work. You guys, are you hiring? Do you want your books read? You know, I do really good work. Here's my catalog, blah, blah, blah. Do the whole fucking rigmarole. Speaking of which, I gotta make sure that uploaded. Okay, it passed audio validation. Sweet. We're awaiting rights holder approval. So the sixth book in the Catherine Kimbridge series will be coming out within, like, a month. Because it's going to take me, like, a week and a half to get this thing edited. If I work on it every night. Which I may not be able to. but we'll see how it fucking goes. My dad's supposed to be coming down to town this weekend, so I kind of want to hang out with him. I've got till October 31st to get the book turned in, but it's not going to take till fucking Halloween. And then I get to work on Enjoy the Decline, which I'm very, very fucking excited about. I'm not going to get into that because I probably got into that last podcast. I don't remember. These purity tests are a fucking problem, guys. Like, people have to agree with you on every little thing. And it's like Tim Burton is getting slammed now because his movies aren't quote unquote diverse enough, which, you know, the only actors that Tim Burton hires are like Johnny Depp and his wife. Ex-wife? Did they break up? I don't care enough to look it up. Helena Bonham Carter. Those are the only two actors that he ever hires. There's no, like diversity isn't even a thought in his fucking mind, man. Like, he's just got these set of actors that he works with. But, like, the left eventually eats their own. And I'm talking about, like, the ultra-left-wing social justice warrior type people. They eat their own. It doesn't matter how... Joss Whedon fucking got ran off of Twitter when, what was it? Was it Age of Ultron came out? I want to say it was Age of Ultron. You know, and Joss Whedon produced Buffy. Like, he was the driving for the creator of fucking Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was really ahead of its time and set the standard for a lot of, like, female-led action shows. And there was horror in there, too. I mean, Vampire Slayer. But, you know, that guy's like a fucking hero of the left wing, so far as, like, entertainment goes. And he got ran out. So it's going to be kind of hard for me to find work, especially if the Hugos, like, go and look up the Sad Puppies and the Rabid Puppies. Their problem is that, you know, the Hugos and the people who administrate the Hugos are censoring books based on these ideological purity tests. If you're a little bit too conservative for them, it doesn't matter if your book promotes a conservative worldview, like, say, oh, I don't know, Robert fucking Heinlein, then they will kick you out. They would rather not give anybody the award than give it to somebody who does not pass their ideological purity test. So yeah, I follow Vox Day. I also follow a lot of left-leaning people. I follow Hillary supporters. I follow Trump supporters. But the thing is that the Trump supporters and the right-wing people and the alt-right people are the only ones who don't fucking care where you land. Yeah, they'll give you shit if you want to vote for Hillary, but as long as you don't make it a big sticking point and get into a fight with them over it, they don't really fucking care, dude. Like, I've never had the Kyrsova people, and I don't remember if they follow me or not, but I've never had, like, that guy jump down my throat because I'm not voting for fucking Hillary. I make fun of Hillary and Trump. Or because I'm not voting for Trump, is what I meant to say. I've never had anyone from the right jump down my throat because I'm not voting Trump. Now, I'm sure those people are out there, but, you know, the right are the people who don't really care. Like, I'm sure that if Milo wrote a book, I could go to him and be like, hey, look, I want to do your thing. And he's like, well, you know, he probably already have somebody who wanted to do it or that he had in mind to do it. Like, he'd probably get Adam Baldwin to do it. Shit. But he wouldn't shoot me down because I'm not voting for Trump, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas if I decided to vote for Trump or I associate with the wrong people, I could go up to left-leaning authors and just, they'll never talk to me again. So it's really disturbing. And I really hate that, you know, I'm basically going to have to go to right-wing people and like, random people on ACX to get work done. Because I really just, I don't care. I will read your fucking book. It doesn't matter to me what it's about. It doesn't matter to me what political perspective it comes from. I'll fucking read it. My job isn't to be political. My job is to do a fucking job. It's to read the book and make it sound good. And make it, you know, get the EQ right and get all the breaths edited out and shit like that and make sure everything is said clearly and in a proper tone of voice. But this fucking purity test shit is becoming a problem. But I'm glad to see that people are kicking back against it and that there are people out there who just do not fucking care. So thank God for those people. I might email Castalia House tomorrow or something and ask them about if they need somebody to do their books for them. But that kind of brings me to a totally awkward segue. That kind of brings me to another point, which really fucking scared me. I used to follow Bill Maher, you know, politically incorrect Bill Maher. And I do have respect for the guy, you know. But I saw a video that he had tweeted out of him, like, on his show or something like that. And basically the whole point of the video was, like, leftists, liberals, quote-unquote, not necessarily classical liberals, but control Hollywood. And via Hollywood, we have the power to shift the nation's perspective on multitudes of things. And I think he brought up, like, gay people and gay marriage. And he was like, you know, 20 years ago, you know, you didn't see a lot of gay people on TV. And gay marriage was really, you know, a losing issue. Even Barack Obama, believe it or not, was anti-gay marriage back in, like, 2008, during his first run for the presidency. And then he said that, you know, we started putting a lot of gays in TV shows and movies and all kinds of shit like that. And now gay marriage is federally mandated. And I was just like, okay, wow, you're fucking scary. That's very, very frightening. That not only that they have that power, but they're that open about having that power. And that's very disturbing to somebody like me, who doesn't necessarily want to be influenced by the media that we consume. We just want to enjoy the fucking media. And I don't have anything against, like, gay people or necessarily any of these agendas that they have, but the whole, like, I don't know. It's just, it's very worrying when somebody comes out and says, look, we control the media, and I don't think Bill Maher is Jewish. Maybe he is. I don't know. But this isn't about Jews controlling the media. This is about people of a certain ideological bias controlling the media. But, you know, this person who's very left-leaning comes out and says, look, we're on the left. We control the media. We can get the public to believe anything we want to. Don't worry about that. Let us handle public perception. We'll be your PR team. You just go concentrate on, you know, whoever the fuck. I think he was talking to Hillary Clinton in the video. And it's just, like, looking at it, it's very disturbing to see how far that control reaches and the amount of influence that it has over the average person, myself included. And I really don't know how to take that. Like, I don't watch TV anymore, so I'm not going to watch Bill Maher's show. I don't watch Bill Maher's show already. You know, it's not like me saying, oh, boycott Bill Maher because he admitted to having power in media is going to do anything. I already didn't watch his show. I don't know. That was just something that's been kind of weighing heavy on my mind for a while, and I kind of wanted to get it off my chest. That's just, like, they're admitting that they have control and that they are using that control for gains in certain social arenas and political arenas, and it's creepy. It's really creepy, because they do, like, a lot of people in, like, Hollywood and media are very far left. It's like colleges. The vast majority, like, 1 in 20, I think, college professors is a Republican or a conservative. That's horrifying. You know, that's a complete lack of diversity of opinion right there. And to get the same thing on media that goes out to everybody in the fucking country and a lot of people out in the world, it's just, I don't know. I need more alcohol. Sorry that this podcast has been kind of a mishmash of random shit. Like, I don't really have a thread to tie any of this together. This is just shit that I thought would be interesting to talk about. So, along with, like, Candid and what Twitter did to Vox Day's website and what Bill Maher admitted to, you know, to having control over, there's the issue of, like, the censorship of the internet that's coming up here in tomorrow. Basically, tomorrow is the hearing that we'll have to figure out whether or not, and Stephen Molyneux did a good presentation where he basically broke down what's happening and what all of the little pieces are in this puzzle. And it's scary shit, man. And I heard about it too late to actually do anything. So there's nothing that I can really do. It's happening fucking tomorrow. And if Congress doesn't step up and tell the president, look, fuck you, you're not giving control over the internet to the UN. Because, if the UN gets control of the internet, boom, it's done. Like, I mean, Hillary Clinton has already said that if she was able to, she would shut down InfoWars and Breitbart. And, like, that's not true. I'm a big fan of InfoWars, but not because I think that they report things accurately or truthfully, because I think they're funny. I love Alex Jones because the man is a meme factory, not because I believe anything that he says. Every time he opens his mouth, it's like, oh my god, screen cap that and put, like, bottom text over it. Or cut him up and put him in a vine. You know, it's gold. It's gold. Trust me, it's Alex Jones. It's gold. I just like laughing at Alex Jones. I think he's probably a very nice guy, even though he's a little bit off his rocker. But I just like laughing at him. And I don't want InfoWars to go away because they're a good source of entertainment for me. And I like Breitbart as a news outlet, even though they're completely in the tank for Trump. I cannot trust them on Trump stuff. On other stuff, they actually do have good reporting. And I like Milo Yiannopoulos a lot, and I don't want that guy to lose his job. You know, I it would suck if Breitbart and InfoWars got shut down. And God only knows, if those are her two big ones, what are the other ones? How long until they get to people like Stephen Molyneux, or even someone as far down the food chain as Aaron Clary, or me, for not being, you know, for not being left-leaning enough? It's fucking terrifying. And you know, the UN had fucking Zoe Quinn and Nita Sarkeesian in front of them talking about sexism against women on the internet. And these are the people that we want to... The people who put Saudi Arabia as the head of the Human Fucking Rights Commission. Those are the people you want to give the internet to? Dude. Like, how fucked are we? It's been kind of Wild West free speech land out here, unless, like, a private company like Twitter or Candid or Facebook wants to censor, and they can, that they're perfectly within their rights, and everybody on that website is perfectly within their rights to stop fucking using it and bankrupt those assholes. But those are the people that you want to give control over the internet to. They're not bound by... Like, I saw a video with Ted Cruz in asking questions of these guys who are kind of heading up this operation to get control of the internet out of the U.S. and into a globalistic, and I hate using that term because it's become so overused and nobody even knows what it means. I don't even know what it means. I'm just using globalistic in the term in the sense of the U.N. is a global organization of many countries. They want to give it to this globalistic organization that is not bound by Western values. It is not bound by the Constitution. And yes, that is the most perfect governing document to ever have been written. Yeah, there's problems with it, and that's why they have an amendment process. But the internet has been largely subject to the First Amendment. The government's not allowed to come in and censor you unless you live in places like China or Yemen or Turkey, where they actively do try to censor media and censor the internet. And it must be shit living in those places. But, that could come here to America if this goes through. And it's very scary to think about. I just wish that I had gotten keyed into this before today, essentially. Because it's very, very worrying. And I wish that there was something that I could do about it. But right now, I'm just kind of venting my spleen because I can't do anything else. So, another thing that I wanted to talk about is I watched Razor Fist's new video. And it's a rant about sexism in heavy metal. Fuck you people! I've been been a metalhead since I was in fucking high school, and not once. And that was back when I was like a feminist and, you know, a communist and all of that shit. Metal never had a problem with sexism. You know, every time a female, like, look at Kitty. Kitty is one of the most popular metal acts to come out of the late 90s, early 2000s. I think they were early 2000s. All female metal act from Canada. They are Canadian, but we don't hold that against them. Because they can sing, they're really good songwriters, and they're really good on their instruments, and they're a really fucking impressive and talented band, you know? Like, there's no problem with sexism in heavy metal, but I was watching the interview that he was responding with this limp dick douche interviewing these problem glasses wearing social justice warrior chicks. And I sat there and I thought about it. And I was like, this is eerily similar to what happened in comics and what happened in just fantasy fiction in general. And all of these other video games, all these other places. And these people's tactics are becoming apparent as they keep trying them in other places. And I don't think that it's a concerted effort. I don't think there's any grand conspiracy to be like, okay, we're going to go after video games, and then we're going to go after comics, and then we're going to go after the boob plate, and then we're going to go after heavy metal. I don't think that's what's happening. I think this is an organic growth as these ideas perpetuate themselves in society, like a virus, like a meme, and other people start adopting these ideas, and they start wanting to work them into the areas of their life where they have not necessarily influence, but fun. And they feel kind of disenfranchised by the established way things have been going for whatever reason, real or imagined. Most of the time, it's an hallucination. Like the whole sexism in comics thing. Like, I saw this a lot back when the Avengers movies were coming out, especially on Tumblr, where women would be complaining about getting shit tested, essentially. They would be wearing a t-shirt, and it's like, you know, oh, you like the Avengers? Well, you know, who's that? Or whatever. Or have you read blah, 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 blah? And they would take it as, oh, this guy's testing me to see if I'm worthy to be in the social club or anything. And yeah, that's kind of part of it. If you don't fucking look the part, then you're hanging around this area, you're going to get shit tested. Somebody's going to bow up to you and see if you belong. You know, every single subculture out there, from video games to comics to fantasy literature to science fiction to music, different music subgenres and subcultures like punk rock, heavy metal, rap, all of that shit, they all have poser detection devices. And these poser detection devices, which I'm copywriting that right now, that was me. I came up with that. The poser detection device is when you find somebody who doesn't look like they belong in this little group. So if I go to a punk show, right, and everybody there has like mohawks or Chelsea cuts, they're all wearing studded jackets and they've all got, like, casualties patches on or Dead Kennedys gear and shit, Misfits t-shirts and stuff like that. And I'm wearing a button-down shirt and a pair of khakis and dress shoes like I just walked out of church. I don't fucking look like I belong. Somebody's going, and let's say it's like a Misfits show, right? Misfits, like, my favorite punk band next to Black Flag. Like, Misfits and Black Flag are what I judge all other punk rock by. But let's say I'm at a Misfits show, and I look like that in a room full of people who look like that. Somebody is going to come up to me and be like, hey, you don't look like you belong here. Do you even know who the Misfits are? Or did you just, like, wander in off the fucking street because it looked fun? And 9 times out of 10, either way that conversation goes, I'm about to make a friend. There might be that one dickhead who actually wants to start a fight about it, but those people are exceedingly rare. And most of the time, if you don't know what's going on, if you're like, no, I just saw a bunch of people coming down here, and like, I like to drink in this place sometimes, so I decided to see what was up. And they're, oh man, the Misfits are fucking playing tonight. These guys are awesome. They've been around since the 80s. You should totally go buy an album at the merch tent. You're going to love these guys. Watch the performance. This is going to be great. And then they'll like drag you into the mosh pit and shit, and you'll have the fucking time of your life. Or, you know, you're like, yeah, I know who the, even looking like I just walked out of church. Yeah, I know who the fucking Misfits are, man. Static Age, Walk Among Us, fucking Earth AD. You know, it started naming off albums, and you're like, man, I really don't like Michael Graves as a singer, but the songs that they wrote while Michael Graves was singing for the band are awesome, and they sound bombing live. And you just start talking about little factual trivia about the band. And then they're like, you know, well, okay, well, this guy's obviously cool. He doesn't look like he's cool, but he's cool. He passed the poser detection test, which is kind of like an ideological purity test, but not really. It's just like, do you know why we're all here? You know, okay, so you're into science fiction. Have you read Asimov? Have you read Heinlein? Do you know why we're here? Why we like this stuff? You know, who's your favorite science fiction writer? Blah, 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 blah. Have you read Douglas Adams? What do you think about X trope in sci-fi? Or, you know, have you watched Firefly? Or shit like that. It's about, you know, are you safe to connect with? Are you here for the right reasons, or are you just kind of here? And I'm not really making this sound very good, because I'm in favor of this. Everybody does it. It's not a bigoted thing. It's not a thing against women. It's just a thing that happens in subcultures. You have to prove that you belong there to be accepted by the people who are already inside the mix in this thing. And I probably sound completely fucking incoherent. But if I want to go to a group of people and get involved in what they're doing, if I think that looks like fun, I want to go over and see. I'm going to go do a little bit of research first. You know? Shit, I've had my card pulled before. I used to have an Iron Maiden t-shirt. It was the album cover for Killers. Right, and it was like my favorite shirt. It had the fucking album cover on the front with Eddie with his hatchet, and you know, the person falling down grabbing at his t-shirt and everything. And then on the back, in red, bloody, jagged script, it said "Killers" across the shoulder blades. It was awesome. Fucking loved that shirt. But I was at my local gas station one day, like the gas station, like not a mile from my house, and I was just standing there pumping gas, man. Had my t-shirt and my jeans on. And this guy comes from around the gas pump, and he was like, hey, do you know who that band is? Do you know what, like, what's going on with them? Why are you wearing that shirt? It's like, man, I fucking love Iron Man. Like, I pulled this dude's card. Because I had read their autobiography. I had listened to all of their albums. I knew, like, everything about the fucking band. And I was just like, oh yeah, man, it was started by fucking Steve Harris and like Paul Di'Anno back in the day, and they would play clubs around like Manchester and shit. And you know, they had the Eddie was just a skull that would like shoot smoke all over the place. And you know, then they got rid of Paul Di'Anno after the second album, and they brought in Bruce Dickinson from Samson. And he was just like, okay, dude, I get it. You know what you're fucking talking about. And I mean, this guy was like, I don't know, I was like 23, 22, early 20s, really early 20s. And, you know, this guy was probably in his late 30s, early 40s. And as soon as I proved to him, you know, that I was not just engaged in some fuckery here, that I didn't just buy the t-shirt because I thought it looked cool, even though that's a perfectly legitimate reason to buy a t-shirt. I hadn't just bought the t-shirt because I thought it looked cool. I bought the t-shirt because I'm a fan of the band, and I know my shit. And if you try to question me on my shit, I'm gonna fuck you up. It's like this fucking Tumblr post I saw going around like 2 or 3 years ago, where this guy had poser-shamed this chick in a record shop. Like, he worked at the record shop, and this chick walked in wearing a Misfits t-shirt, and he was like, oh, hey, you like the Misfits? She was like, no, I just like the shirt. I just think it's cool. I'm extrapolating here from memory because it's been a long time since I fucking defended this on Tumblr. And he was like, oh shit, you don't know who the Misfits are? Man, this is absolutely fucking criminal. And he took her over and he was like, all right, here's one of their great albums. You're just listen to this album. This is who that shirt is. You're going to fucking love the band. I can already tell you're into like punkish music. You're going to love these guys. And then he had took a picture with her and was like, you know, poser shaming kind of thing. And he had talked about how she didn't know who the band was, but he broke it down for her and he sent her home with one of their albums as homework. And people were just outraged. Like, oh, this is an example of how men think that they're just allowed to do whatever they want to women and to shame women for not being a part of the club. And I was sitting here like, well, what if she like looks at that 2 years down the road as a favor? Like the Misfits are a fucking great band. And if you're wearing the shirt because you just like the shirt, cool, go for it. Fine. It doesn't really affect me that you don't know who the Misfits are. It doesn't like get up my craw like it would have when I was 18. But that girl walked into that record store, and because of that t-shirt and because of that guy, she got turned on to a band that is actually worth fucking listening to and that she's probably going to like well into her senior years. And if it hadn't have been for that guy, she might have never gone out and bought a Misfits album. She might have just worn the fucking t-shirt. And music and subcultures and stuff like that is meant to be shared. And maybe he did it in a jackass, asshole-ish way, but that was what he was doing. He was sharing his subculture with her. It wasn't about ostracization. It wasn't about, you know, let me get rid of you. It was about, okay, you don't know who this band is, but you're wearing their t-shirt. So let me educate you. Let me give you one of their albums here. Take it home, listen to it, see how you like it. And, you know, if you want more, you can come back here to the CD shop. We sell them. They're right over there. And hopefully she enjoyed it. But, you know, I can see that being a dickhole move and her being kind of embarrassed about it. But at the same time, that kind of thing really is for your own good, you know, because there are going to be other people who come around and are like, oh, you like the Misfits? And you're going to be like, no, what? Well, you're wearing a Misfits t-shirt. I thought you liked the band. Oh, no, I just liked the t-shirt. 9 times out of 10, people are going to be, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, you should look them up. They're a really good band, you know. If you're into, like, goth punk, horror punk kind of stuff, you might dig it. I just, like, there's not this sexism problem in heavy metal. There's not a homophobia problem in heavy metal. It does not fucking exist. There are bands out there that are all women that are heavy metal groups or fronted by women that are wildly fucking successful. I don't know where these people fucking get this idea, but it's not the 80s anymore. It's not the 70s anymore. These problems do not fucking exist in the way that you're making them out to. But these patterns in these SJW infiltrators, and these people are fucking infiltrators, and like I say, they might very well just be a metalhead who got into this SJW ideology, and they're bringing this whole social justice stuff with them into it. And they have good intentions and everything like that, but they always use the same tactics, which makes it very easy for conspiracy theorists to say, okay, there's something going on here. There's a mastermind here with a playbook that is kind of orchestrating all of this shit. And in a way, that's kind of true, because they, in colleges, they tell these kids that they're supposed to be evangelical about this shit. They're supposed to go out and tell, like, Anita Sarkeesian, everything is sexist, everything is racist, everything is homophobic, and you need to point it all out. People get involved in this mindset, and they can't let go of it, so they bring it with them into their subcultures. And whether or not they're actual members of the subculture before they decided to quote-unquote infiltrate it, is up for debate. It's a case-by-case thing, I think. But the patterns are there, and if you can recognize these patterns, then you can cut this cancer out before it does to your subculture what it did to comic books. before these people actually get in a creative capacity and ruin the thing that you love. That happened with comic books. Because of this shit, I'm not buying Marvel Comics anymore unless they're used. I'm not buying DC anymore because they've got too much of this social justice bullshit. When they're using the term mansplaining in a Wonder Woman comic, it's gone too far and I'm done. I'm not gonna buy your shit anymore, dude. That's just the way it is. I don't know. Maybe I'll like actually sit down and work out these patterns. I'm sure somebody has already done it out there, but maybe I'll sit down and work out these patterns and make a post on the blog. I'm also doing like blog posts as audio. I just have to edit them and get them ready for the YouTube channel. And, you know, the iTunes and all that shit. But you can cut this cancer out at the root. And that's what Razor Fist is trying to do. He's trying to cut this out before it metastasizes and starts to take over. Because that's what it does. Because they start very reasonably. And they're like, well, you know, we think that women is a big thing because men like women more than men like men, and women like women more than women like men. It's just a fact. That's a cognitive bias that every single human out there has, unless you're severely fucked up or you've trained yourself out of it, which I've tried to train myself out of it. I don't have any preference for men over women or women over men. I treat men and women the exact same. Or at least I try to. Unless you're a friend of mine, in which case you get special treatment because you're a friend. But this kind of shit does take over. It is like a cancer. And it is seeking to infiltrate. It's like government. Government's purpose is to grow and get more power for itself. It's the same thing with this social justice mindset. This ideology, and you have to stop it whenever it starts to crop up. You have to slap it the fuck down and stand in front of it and say no further. You're not gonna come in here with this horseshit. We know you're fucking lying. We know you're trying to stir up bullshit that's not real. You can fuck off right now before you ruin our scene. And that's kind of what you have to do. Like I say, maybe I'll look into it more if I have some free time. And after I get done taking care of my to-do list, which, yeah, it's kind of long. It's going to take a few days to work through that, if I'm even able to work through it in a few days. But I know I've probably gone on for long enough here. We're probably, for you guys, at like an hour and 15 minutes. It's been like an hour and 20 for me. So I thought I would tell you guys about this cool thing that I found. I was listening to, hang on, let me get this out of the way of my hand with my mouse here. I was looking up, first I was listening to the Myths and Legends podcasts, which if you're not listening to Myths and Legends, you need to go listen to Myths and Legends, okay? But they're doing a series on Jason and the Argonauts. And the old school Ray Harryhausen Jason and the Argonauts is one of my favorite movies of all time. I used to have it on VHS when I was a kid. I've watched it probably 100 times. I absolutely fucking love that movie. You should all go look it up, by the way. I'll put a link in the description to it, because the link that I'm going to give you has a bunch of other stuff attached to it. It's a channel on Dailymotion, where they have a bunch of old school movies like that and 20 Million Miles to Earth, the original The Blob. But two in particular that I watched the other night were The Angry Red Planet, which, if you've ever looked up The Misfits Walk Among Us, and it's got that giant bat, rat, spider thing, that's where that's from. The Angry Red Planet is where that's from. And The Angry Red Planet is a really good movie, and I would suggest that you guys look it up, check it out, watch it, laugh at it, because it's kind of stupid. It doesn't have, you know, really good effects or anything. But it's a really, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I had fun time fucking watching it. It's about these scientists who go to Mars and then they come back and they're irradiated, and you know, the lady is the only survivor and her memory is gone. So the whole movie is her retracing her steps throughout the expedition to figure out what the fuck happened and how they can help save the other guy who landed with her. And, you know, they actually go to Mars, and there's this bright-ass fucking red filter that they put over the segments outside on Mars. But apart from that bright-ass red filter, it's a really good movie, and I would suggest that you guys go and look it up. It was a lot of fun to watch. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Another movie is Reptilicus, and Reptilicus is stupid. Reptilicus is dumb. It's basically the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, but stupid, but lame. And for that reason, it's awesome material to just like get drunk or get stoned or whatever you like to do with your friends and just sit there and watch it and laugh at it. It's amazing. Like the monster is this little puppet on a string. And oh God. But I was thinking about it, and the premise really is the same. There's this creature frozen down, buried under the earth, and then it gets woken up one way or another, and it gets brought to or finds its way to a major metropolitan area and proceeds to wreak havoc, and then they come up with some special, you know, happy horse shit to take it out. It's fucking wild. They have like this animated green acid slime that the monster spits. Oh god, you gotta see it to believe it, guys. You really gotta see it to believe it. So look up those two movies, guys. You will not be sorry. You will be thanking me. You will personally contact me over social media on Twitter or Tumblr or wherever and thank me for recommending those movies to you if you go and watch them. They are absolutely worth it. And you should be able to find them through that Dailymotion link that I'm going to be putting in the description here. So, yeah, all right. Well, I've been rambling on about long enough, huh? So thank you guys very much for listening, taking time out of your finite lives to listen to the ramblings of this drunken asshole right here. If you guys want to help support me, you can go basically buy the Catherine Kimbridge novels that I've narrated. Go to Dimension Bucket and support us on Patreon so that we can make that our fucking job, so that I can, you know, quit working in a warehouse and actually start producing shit for you guys to listen to, which was what I would rather be doing in the first place. And yeah, that's about it. There's plenty of ways over at Dimension Bucket that you guys can help us and help support us. But if you want to support me personally, the audiobooks are the way to do it. And I recommend Reconnaissance Man, but I don't get royalties off of that. That was a one-time fee for the production of that. So, you know, go buy it anyway. But if you want to help me out, the Catherine Kimbridge novels are basically where to do it. The audiobooks for those. They're all up on Audible. You can just search Nathan Dabney, and you'll find me. All right. Well, that's the podcast, guys. I'll catch you all later. I hope you all have a good weekend. I hope you all have a good week. Don't burn the house down while I'm gone. Peace out.